Good morning again, everybody. It's I'd like to call the meeting of the Select Committee on Transit Sustainability Project to order. Can we call the roll, please?
Good morning. Chair Dodd?
Here.
Commissioner Bates?
Here.
Commissioner Glover?
Here.
Commissioner Haggerty?
Here.
Commissioner Kinsey?
Here.
Commissioner McKenzie?
Present.
Commissioner Spearing?
Here.
Commissioner Weiner?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Great. Thank you and welcome, everybody. Today, the committee will receive a status report on transit sustainability project implementation and consider recommendations related to the Inner East Bay Comprehensive Operational Analysis. An ad hoc committee of board members from AC Transit, BART, and MTC provided direction to staff on the Inner East Bay analysis. I would like to welcome the following board members from AC Transit and BART joining us today. AC Transit Board President Greg Harper, AC Transit Board Member Elsa Ortiz, BART Board Member Robert Rayburn, and BART Board Member Rebecca Saltzman. We look forward to your participation. Thank you for being here this morning. So with that, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of the April 11th, 2012 meeting? So we have a motion by Commissioner Spearing, a second by Glover. Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. And we'll move now to the TSP implementation update. Ken? Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Kenneth Follin with MTC staff. And item number three is an information item on the implementation update, so I can go through that rather quickly so that we have enough time for input on item number four. So there's a quick agenda of what we're going to go through today. And as far as the implementation update, I just wanted to hit on a couple categories. We've been bringing to the Programming and Allocations Committee some updates on the Transit Performance Initiative Program. There's an investment piece and an incentive piece. So first, for the investment, it's $82 million total. That's for low-cost capital investments to the transit network. And we have a next round coming up probably late this year with $27 million, then a final round in early 2015. There was an update on the projects from Muni, AC Transit, and VTA that were selected in the first round. Those were reviewed by the Programming and Allocations Committee last month. As far as the TPI incentive program, that's a $60 million investment that would fund or provide financial rewards for improvements in ridership and productivity, and we do have a split between large and small operators on that. 85% of the funding is for large operators, 15% for small operators. The small operators have established, and the commission has adopted the formula for that, and we plan to bring a recommendation for the large operators in April on that. So that's moving ahead as well. The strategic plans, which was the 5% reduction targets for the largest seven agencies, are due to MTC by the end of this month. And I would just note that this is real significant. A 5% reduction across the region in costs equates to roughly $100 million a year in the operating budget. So we'll have more after we do some analysis of those plans this summer. One other element of the TSB is the Tri-City, Tri-Valley Transit Study. This is a study of transit service, demand and service in the area served by LAFTA, Union City Transit, and AC Transit. We'll be having the first Policy Advisory Committee meeting on the 1st of April, and we'll be updating you periodically on this as well. So there are some additional focus areas around short-range transit plans, some work that's been done in Sonoma County, Solano counties, as well as a coordinated transit passenger survey work that we're that's underway right now. And then finally, we plan to continue some sub-regional and corridor-specific planning that's under development. So that's all we had for the implementation update under item number three, and we would take some questions before we move to number four.
Thank you, Kenneth. Any questions? It's pretty clear. Doesn't look like we have any. I have no speaker card, so why don't you proceed to item number four.
Okay, thanks. Item number four is we are seeking commission approval, or excuse me, committee to refer this to the commission for approval. So it is MTC resolution number 4060, and it's the Inner East Bay Comprehensive Operational Analysis. So what we would be doing would be adding these recommendations to the TSP recommendations that you all approved in May of 2012. So I just wanted, before I turn it over to our consultant team to run through the recommendations, and then we'll get some updates from BART and AC Transit, as well as input from the board members, I wanted to just to say the reason that we funded this and participated in this was that when we started the TSP, we had identified the Inner East Bay is an area that had not had a comprehensive plan, I think, since I believe it was 2003. In San Francisco, they were undertaking their TEP, their Transit Effectiveness Project. There was an effort in VTA service area that had just been completed, and we also provided some funding on the peninsula to do some work with SamTrans that will be adopted within the next couple months. So we did identify the Inner East Bay as a place that needed a comprehensive look at the system, and we wanted to make sure that when you were looking at one system, you attempted to look at both and see how they both interacted, BART and AC Transit. So with that, I'll turn it over to Russ Chisholm from TMD Consulting, who will walk through the recommendations.
Thanks, Ken. Good morning. The goals of the Inner East Bay COA came from extensive analysis of service and markets, as well as considerable discussions with key stakeholders and staff. And the four key elements were to first promote a seamless Inner East Bay network of bus and rail services. The second was to build the urban core to allow for spontaneous use of bus and rail by customers. This means without referring to a timetable, just being able to get walk out and catch the next trip. Third is to match the service levels with demand, focusing on improving both productivity of the services as well as increasing overall ridership. And then lastly is to ensure ongoing financial sustainability. There are three elements in the recommendations. I'll talk briefly about one and two, and I'll hand it back to Ken for number three. In terms of the BART recommendations, this covers just the Inner East Bay. And there were a number of things here that came out. The first was that there was a need to kind of change the dominant BART role from kind of a commuter regional railroad approach to one that's more of an urban metro. And that was tied in very closely with the opportunity to create a more seamless system with the bus network. Part two looked at capacity and utilization strategies, looking at both the supply side and the demand side. And there were some different ones to address key issues in the peak and the off-peak period. It looked at ensuring that there was enough supply out there in the peak, that there was consideration of strategies that would encourage people to travel at other times, things like that during the off-peak. There were strategies to help improve the productivity and the efficiency of the off-peak service. One of the key things that was noted is that a more seamless network, particularly if you're going to use BART for, say, shorter journeys than during the commute, the ability of having a more seamless network with bus was considered quite important. And lastly, of course, was to address any Title VI or EJ considerations during the process and in the recommendations. In terms of refocusing the network, what you'll see here is the BART service network. You can see the urban core. If you look at the numbers in the little call-out boxes, you'll see two numbers. One is peak, one is off-peak, and these reflect the productivity on a rail car basis, not a train, but the actual car basis. And what you can see is that the levels are fairly sustained. Transbay is, of course, the highest. But the other areas, in some cases, you actually see more productivity in the off-peak. When we look at the areas that are more commute-focused, you can see a sharp change in productivity between the peak and the off-peak. And this even includes BART right-sizing train lengths during the off-peak. So there's a considerable difference here in how the market uses transit between the commute and the off-peak. This takes a look at the capacity. What you can see here is the average weekday demand and capacity provided. The gray is the capacity. The blue is the demand. You can obviously see that, you know, as we cross the bay, we are getting very close to capacity. And you can see in the off-peak, there's a real opportunity to use some of that latent capacity for shorter distance travel. Moving over to the bus side, here the focus was on spontaneous use. Much of BART service today does run frequently enough. In the case of AC Transit, one of the key elements here is the network will work much better if the service is frequent. If you're riding a 30-minute service and transferring to 60, waiting on a street corner becomes very problematic, and it's not really possible to time everything to work in those circumstances. So the key here is to identify kind of the backbone urban network that will run frequently enough so people can step on and step off service. Using more than one route does not become a hardship, but it's fairly easy. And to do that, it requires rethinking what is coverage. Currently, coverage is services that are less frequent than every 30 minutes. In this case, 30 minutes is not frequent enough to support spontaneous use. The consumer market research says that that really is in the 13 to 15-minute range. 10 is even better. We want to invest in service speed improvements. After frequency or the out-of-vehicle wait time, one of the key determinants of whether people ride is how long is the in-vehicle travel time. So looking at delay reduction strategies there is important. And Transbay. We'll talk a little bit more about Transbay. There were a number of different options that were identified and discussed as possible solutions to this. And again, like BART, we want to ensure that Title VI and environmental justice considerations occur throughout. Just taking a quick look at spontaneous bus and rail use, you can see here in the blue box are services that run 10 minutes or better or 11 to 15 minutes, and in the red box it's 20 to 30 or 45 to 75. You can see there's a very sharp difference in how productive they are, and this just reflects how the market uses services at different frequencies. Doesn't mean if you don't have the market, you can run 10-minute service and it'll carry a lot of people, but it's that balancing. But it's not just individual routes. It's how the routes come together into a bus network and a bus and rail network that maximizes success. And the last item up there is, in some cases, a big old fixed route bus may not be the best choice. And we want to look at alternatives like flex routes and other techniques that may be more effective in certain market areas. Investing in the speed improvements, the numbers here are a little bit small. Suffice to say that for the rapid service, the urban trunk, and the local service, none of it is particularly fast. Particularly the rapids and the urban trunks are your backbone spines, and so there's a real need to improve the speed through delay reduction on these, something that MTC has supported with initiatives. Then the last part is rethinking Transbay. There's a number of things we can identify here. There's overlap with BART for some trips to and from San Francisco. It's a little bit more costly, and the service utilization isn't as strong. So the idea here is to answer some questions about how to improve the performance of Transbay. Are there areas where the additional cross-bay capacity is needed? Are there holes in the network where Transbay can and does support a complementary role with BART? Can some of the service be reconfigured into a higher frequency shuttle to the BART station? In some cases, this may mean you go Transbay into peak, but in the off-peak, you know, you rely on that high-frequency connector to help you complete your landside journey in the Inner East Bay. Is there an opportunity to fill time-of-day BART service gaps, for instance, late evening? And then lastly, how can the fares and parking pricing support a more integrated network? And that's something Ken will talk a little bit about. This just gives you a sense of how the service is performing. The black line running across is roughly 30 patrons per trip. And you can see some of the routes are doing better, some less so. You can see the AM peak in red, the PM peak in blue. You can see some differentials there. The key here is to come up with strategies that will attract more people to the service to improve productivity. Ken?
Thanks, Russ. So the third part of the recommendation is a joint fare product. And we are developing two pilot concepts. And the idea would be to bring back a more refined concept with cost estimates to the Programming and Allocations Committee later this summer, and that's where the authorization would occur. But the general idea would be to develop two pilots to find out, will fare discounts promote more ridership within the Inner East Bay and on the two systems, as well as will it allow the riders to choose which system to use so that they can get to their destination faster. This is just some facts on the Inner East Bay and in the area. There's 21 BART stations within that circle. The transfers between the between AC Transit and BART are estimated at between 3.3 and 5 million. And with Clipper data, we're getting more and more accurate readings on those. There's some information on the average fare paid. And then finally, 61% of the AC Transit BART transfers involve travel contained within this area. So it's obviously a big market, and there might be a lot more demand within that market. So the pilot programs are essentially currently, if somebody comes off the BART system, they can go on an AC Transit bus and get a 25-cent discount. The first pilot would be to up that discount from 25 cents to a dollar. The second pilot would be to have a $1 discount in both directions, from BART to BART, bus to BART, BART to bus. What we're trying to do here is put together two modest pilots that are not too big of an investment. About 100 participants, we're looking at about a $500,000 for both programs, and it's not going to be something that would require a Clipper, any sort of Clipper hardware or software changes. So I think that's a good benefit, and we'd be able to have more information before we do anything bigger than that. This is some information on some initial analysis on price elasticity with a dollar two-way transfer discount, and it just gives you some idea of how many additional riders you would get and how many or the revenue loss by giving the dollar discount. One thing that this does not show you is other people may use this for other reasons rather than price, because it's easier to use both systems and there might be some built-up latent demand in that sense. So with that, I think that we are going to turn it over to AC Transit staff to run through some of their initial reactions and findings on this COA, and then to BART staff. Go ahead.
Kenneth,
sure.
Commissioner Sparing.
Kenneth, on that support spontaneous bus and rail use where you have percentage of cost, what does that relate to, or what does that mean?
What slide are you looking at, Commissioner?
It's on my page 9, but it's the top one. I'm just not sure.
Looks like 17.
Slide 17.
17, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Let me.
What does that relate to? I just don't quite understand this chart, so.
That shows you the relative investment in system operating cost in each of those categories. For instance, 26% of the system operating cost is for service running every 10 minutes versus 18% is for services running every 45 to 75 minutes.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
One more, Russell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I don't even know if this is the right slide to refer to, but it kind of illustrates my problem, which is slide 14. When we start talking about this urban metro, my concern goes to, if you look at the Dublin-Pleasanton line that currently is out there, what are we saying about that in relationship to service?
We're saying a couple of things. The first is that BART is playing a role today and can play a much stronger role as part of the urban core network of bus and rail services. What it's also saying is we get out into the commute areas, the challenges in many ways are going to require even tighter integration, because most of your journeys in the off-peak, the non-commute journeys, tend to be shorter, which puts a premium on having kind of a barrier-free set of movements. The harder you make it for people to travel, the more difficult it will be to encourage them to use something besides their car. So as we look at this, and it's particularly germane to the Tri-City, Tri-Valley study, we'll be looking at more creative solutions than just some of the traditional bus and rail connection solutions.
Can you break that on down just a little further? Are we going to start getting limos for everybody who lives in the Tri-Valley or what?
You mean the types of services?
Yeah. And then, you know, since you did throw in the Tri-Cities, I mean, you also now have another major metropolitan area that's coming onto this system in which the Tri-City sits right in between. So
exactly.
If I was in San Jose, I might be a little concerned about what you're planning for the Tri-City portion of it, too.
Well, it has a lot of impact, and, you know, referring back to the original COA market analysis, as you get to the Tri-City area, you start to see a lot more dispersal in terms of the focus of work and school journeys. Work journeys, people are still going to San Francisco, but, you know, San Mateo and Dumbarton are important, and Santa Clara County is also important, and as we know, we've got a new kind of piece of the transit puzzle that will be happening shortly that will need to be addressed as part of the rethinking of service down there.
Okay, so maybe I should feel good that I'm the donut hole in the donut. But I guess I'm still having a hard time understanding what it is you're telling me. Are you telling me that people in these Tri-City, Tri-Valley area will be paying more for service? Are you telling me that they're going to see longer headways? What are you really telling me about what's going to happen there?
I think at this point what we're saying is that we're going to have to work harder to create a stronger network in these areas. In particular, in some cases, when you look at the urban area, it tends to be more of a supply-side solution. You have to run capacity and eliminate barriers. And frankly, you're in a good competitive position. You've got markets that are very strong. When you get out to the commute area, you actually have to chase markets. You can't just say, run big buses down the street and people will come. It has to be thought through. Looking at things like, you know, after school service, senior mobility, internal community circulation. And as we look at the areas, there's a lot of success stories down there that can be emulated. It's just taking what's working and kind of matching it to the right markets throughout the Tri-City, Tri-Valley area.
Well, I guess I'm still not clear, so let me just say this. I would probably be resistant of anything that would put a premium on fares for people that live out in that community, those communities, and also I'd be resistant for any longer headways than what are currently out there. So I just want to put that on the record. And if you want more ridership, the best way to do is build BART to Livermore, because then you'll get those people actually closer towards, you know, you'll get them closer to their homes, in which they're more likely to not sit in that 45-minute commute between First Street and, say, Santa Rita. They'll get onto BART, and, you know, you're going to reduce their commute probably by 35 minutes, and then they're going to do it. So that's my BART to Livermore story for today.
Commissioner, I do think, I know you were, I think there was a little dance going on there, and I think,
really wasn't trying.
No, not from your side of the table. And look, I think it's easier just to be blunt here, because I know the BART board has had a pretty spirited discussion about this very issue, and that is, do you run trains all the way to the end, all day long, no matter what the demand is? That's the question. And in San Mateo County, as an example, and this was more making a virtue out of necessity, What BART does is it runs two lines down during the day, and it runs one line down during the evening. And so what we're really talking about is matching, trying to see whether we can match demand with the service better. And that does involve trade-offs between if you want more service in the core of the region, and that might mean higher headways in the commute areas. That's what it might mean. Now, it's perfectly legitimate to say the answer to that is we don't want to do that. But the purpose of this analysis was to try to identify whether there are ways to run these systems more efficiently. And we think that is a promising alternative.
Yeah, and I would go back to when, the Colma stations and those stations were struggling and they weren't making the ridership. And so we made deals and we invested more time and we gave better headways and the ridership went up, 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 up. So, I mean, I would say we can't just totally discount. Maybe if we gave the Tri-Valley and the Tri-Cities better service, then they would be more likely to ride. I mean, that's the converse.
I will say, Commissioner, I think it's probably fair to characterize those stations as still struggling. They are
the ridership's gone up.
High performers in the region. And so, as I said, what BART has done in San Mateo as a result is run two lines during the day and only one in the off-peak. And one way of looking at some of this stuff, just like we want to look at fares and test a different fare structure, is just to test it and see how it goes. And people may rebel and folks may be completely dissatisfied with the level of service, but I think one thing we've learned from this work is that it doesn't hurt to try things and see how they go.
Yeah, but for us elected officials, we're coming off the heels of One Bay Area, so why don't you give us a break? I mean, really. I mean,
I think what we're giving you is our best advice, and yeah. What you do with it is your prerogative.
Yeah, thank you. Amy Worth, Contra Costa Cities. And I just had a couple questions about this relative to the Contra Costa piece of it. I know that, for example, we have other transit agencies in that connect BART and also provide Transbay service. So WestCat does that, and I know it's their Transbay services are a really important part of how they serve that those communities in the upper West Bay, upper East Bay, up northern, in Contra Costa County. So I know that this focuses primarily on AC and BART. Are you going to be looking at the farther, you know, northwest corner of Contra Costa County as well?
Commissioner, you're right that this specific Inner East Bay analysis was really focused on the BART AC Transit, kind of what they had in common. I think that there are other areas that could be under consideration for future sort of TSP study areas. You know, we have done work in Sonoma County, had contemplated work in Marin County, and did some work in Solano County. So it could be something that we look into at a later point.
Okay, I know that there, you know, at some point you set the parameters in terms of this is what we're looking at, but since there are a lot of parallels between WestCat and AC in terms of how they interrelate with BART, and especially the, you know, connecting to BART or the Transbay crossing, it might really be helpful at this point to at least bring them into some of the discussions so that as policy issues come back to this board, we can kind of have a integrated policy that certainly works now but contemplates potentially what might happen in the future. And I guess the other question I want to ask is that as you look at, back to the point that Commissioner Haggerty raised and our executive director kind of touched on, it is transit services become a trade-off. And when you're looking at suburban services versus urban core, will you also be looking at not just commute, non-commute, but things like weekend, evening, midday? Because I know just by experience on the Bay Point line that when you look at that on the weekends and in the evenings, that is standing room only, way beyond any kind of commute hours. So obviously it's a program. In addition, we have institutions like St. Mary's College that actually pay for a shuttle from the Lafayette BART station through our county connection that provides a direct shuttle link between the BART station and the college. So, and clearly because people are using that. So is that something else you're going to be looking at?
Absolutely.
Any other comments?
So we would move on next, if there are no other comments, to the AC Transit. Robert Del Rosario from their service department would walk you through a couple slides here.
Quick question, and maybe the AC Transit person can address it.
Sure.
I think the way we're moving maybe in the more suburban areas is we're going to run more frequent bus service up to stations that are in this new trunk or urban trunk core. I mean, has there ever been studies of people that just say they're just not going to ride the bus? There's never been a study?
With the transit service going to BART
right.
stations?
Are there people that will say, look, if you're only going to take BART down to Castro Valley, I'm not going to take the bus from Livermore. And I'm just using this as an example because I know the areas. I'm not going to take the bus from Livermore, so I'll just stay in my car and I'll drive up to Castro Valley.
Yeah, I'm not familiar enough with any other studies like that, but the goal is to see if transit service, bus transit service can feed into the BART networks. Typically, that does work in feeder networks in other areas, but I don't know what we've seen here in the past.
Okay.
Good morning. Robert Del Rosario, Director of Service Development. I'm just going to get past these guiding principles. AC Transit is taking the guiding principles that were presented by MTC and TMD and seeing how those can in turn result in service plans for AC Transit and potentially some pilots to implement. So first is looking at the urban trunk lines and the urban trunk toolkit. We will develop a toolkit as a result of the recommendations that will look at the guiding principles and service design context. So putting all of the guiding principles into this toolkit so we have it for implementing on our trunk lines. And then we'll look at some service options. Essentially, this would be rapid type service, whether it's rapid with underlying local service or if it's hybrid rapid service that's standalone on a route. Those would be the type of service options that we would look at. And then we will look at speed improvements in this urban trunk toolkit. What are the capital improvements that we can implement on our trunk lines to get those buses moving quicker and be more reliable, whether it be traffic signal priority, bus bulbs, or signal coordination, or queue jump lanes. Finally, we'll have a set of recommendations for each of the trunk lines. Those include San Pablo, College Broadway, MacArthur, and Foothill. And then a critical piece of rolling this out with our recommendations is branding. We need to make sure that the public knows that we have these capital improvements going forward on our trunk lines and that we also have service improvements on these trunk lines. The next component that we'll look at is the next step down from the urban trunk, but also quite well utilized in the AC Transit area, and that's the urban core. And the boundaries of the urban core are defined by Bayfair BART station to the south and then up to the Richmond Pinole border to the north. We want to focus our investments where there is ridership and productivity. There are some key corridors right now where we think we can have more frequency and really get the ridership to tip over to transit and have transit be a more popular option in these areas. We would like to identify the highly productive corridors outside of the urban trunks. We've seen some in the city of Richmond, Berkeley, and other areas within the urban core. And I want to emphasize what TMD mentioned, which is defining coverage frequency as 30 minutes or better. Right now, we have a lot of services that are at hour frequencies, and AC Transit doesn't see that as viable service options. And so looking at higher frequencies for our coverage network should increase ridership and get people to their destinations more reliably. And the final piece is looking at Transbay. We know that Transbay could be increased in productivity, could be increased in use, and so we're going to look at some solutions and recommendations to see how we can get more people on the Transbay buses and really complement the BART service. So we want to increase the Transbay service productivity, maximize the efficiency, make Transbay time competitive with other options. We want to make sure that you can get to San Francisco on any of our Transbay routes in equal time or even better than other service options. We want to effectively reduce the overall Transbay crossing congestion over the Bay Bridge. We think AC Transit can play a role in that. And finally, we want to provide a broader regional benefit, have AC Transit be a service that that others in the region can see as a way to get to San Francisco. And so some of those recommendations that we're going through right now will include the following. One is high-density residential market service. So have the trans-based service operate where we have the densest residential and commercial development. Really get most people on the bus with these services that we're providing. Park and ride service. This is the many-to-one option. This is quite popular in other regions for express bus service. And looking for areas where people can come to a central point and then hop on a Transbay bus and get to San Francisco and really fill that bus up. Augmenting BART service. So we want to see where there's BART capacity issues at certain stations. Can AC Transit provide some service to augment the service, to augment the BART service, and get people to San Francisco in another option? And then finally, marketing. Marketing and branding is quite key with the Transbay services. We want to co-market with BART and show the region that there's other options for people to get to San Francisco, and really put out there that AC Transit is this viable way for you to get across the Bay Bridge. And then finally, as TMD touched on, we are looking at flex service. I think there are certain areas outside of the urban core, or even within the urban core, but up in the hills of the East Bay, where fixed route service may not be the best option. Is flex route an option that we can look at, more of a demand response or deviated type of service that provides more flexibility for the passengers and more catered service towards the passengers? So as a part of this COA study from the AC Transit side, we'll be looking at flex service in various areas of the urban core area where there's less density, and also will be incorporated into the Tri-City, Tri-Valley study. With that, I'll turn it back over to Kenneth.
Commissioner Spearing?
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the park and ride service when you say reorient service? Are these existing, new, or I mean, how's that being developed?
Great question. Yeah, you know, it's something that we're frankly struggling with, but what we're looking for are existing services. So can we have shared use lots with, say, community centers, churches, places that are existing, or are there Caltrans lots that can be maximized for better capacity? But it wouldn't be anything in terms of new park and ride facilities.
Okay, so you would change the routes to match
Correct.
To the okay
Correct.
These identified spaces.
Correct. Bill?
Yes, Commissioner Bates.
So, could you define a little bit more for me what flex service is about? I mean,
flex service is a type of service that can be implemented in a number of ways. One way is deviated service. So you start at one point, say it's a BART station, and then you can travel out through a neighborhood, and then within that area, the bus can deviate off of a fixed route and drop off passengers closer to their homes. It works for more low density neighborhoods or low demand areas. So that's one option. Another option is more of a demand response, where passengers actually call in to a dispatcher at AC Transit, say, and then they schedule a trip to go to their destination.
So I'm just trying to think about the East Bay, like, say, Oakland Hills, Berkeley Hills.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see this kind of service could be put in place, and how would that operate on a per-call basis, or would that operate on a
You know, the difference between true demand response and flex service is that flex service still has a schedule. In other words, you have, say, hourly frequency or 30-minute frequency on these routes. And what would happen on the subscription side, at least, is that people will call in, and then the dispatcher would schedule into one of those scheduled trips. We could see it happening, you know, potentially in some of the hills areas, particularly in the off-peak. I think in the peak there is still a lot of demand, particularly in the Berkeley Hills. You have services such as the 65 and 67 that carry a lot of UC students and Berkeley High students up the hill. I don't think it's appropriate for that peak hour period, but for the off-peak, I think we can have something that would be viable.
So also during the peak times, the Transbay and the basically... As we know, when you ride BART, I'd like to hear from BART people, but it seems like those peak times are, in my own experience, are the trains are full. And so it seems like, you know, it's going to be hard to put more passengers on those trains because they only have 10 cars. And so the question is, you're assuming that AC is going to be in a position to provide a service that will be comparable to that and at a price that would be similar?
Yeah, we are looking at the fares right now, and AC Transit We operate, I believe it's 90 peak hour buses over to Transbay now. We're going to the goal of this COA effort for us is to see if we can generate some pilots where we're going to go through high density areas where people typically take BART, and also in areas where we know that BART is at capacity. We know, for example, Fruitvale is a great location where we know we have high density along the Fruitvale corridor. There's a BART station there that already has maxed out capacity. So can we get people on Fruitvale to San Francisco, touching out the BART station as well, and see if we can get some of the riders there to go to San Francisco? So there's definitely logistics involved in there that we have to figure out in terms of fares, the timing, schedules, et cetera.
What about the time involved? Because a lot of times people, they're in the peak hours, the time to get to San Francisco is, or, other parts of the West Bay, is very important to make the time schedules. And BART, is reliable for the most part.
Sure.
And the bus is more problematic, right?
Yes, and I think that's why we're looking at, for example, Fruitvale. We're looking at shorter corridors that we can operate on more reliably. I think a lot of the Transbay routes now are quite lengthy on the East Bay, so we can shorten that span up. Once you hit the BART station, if you can get on the freeway, get on the HOV lanes, you're never going to be as reliable as rail, but I think by shortening up the length of these routes, we can get it to a point where it's almost as time competitive as other options.
Kenneth, before you go on, I'd like to
Sure.
invite AC Transit Board President Greg Harper and Board Member Elsa Ortiz to see if you want to interject anything before we move on to BART.
Your invitation. I really welcome this. I mean, I'm so glad that MTC is seeing the P in MPO, and this is really important. And it's great that it's quantitative driven, because that's really the whole key with transit. It's figuring out where your people need to go, how they're getting there, and figuring out how you can serve them better. And it's very, very much welcome. And I tell you that the AC Transit Board is very excited about this, and the findings and things I think are, for the most part, completely in accord with some of our thinking. I mean, we've been trying to figure out how to get more BART-centric for a long time, and I think this is one of the things we're going to have. I think that, looking at the slides, my comment, like on slide 17, is what is the effect of the other thing that's happening in transit is information and the information that are available to passengers, and what effect is that having on our ridership? And NextBus is what we use, and Muni uses it, and some things like that. So when we talk about spontaneous ridership and what it takes to get people onto a bus in terms of frequency, I want us to think about the technologies that's available to people too. I ride the F bus all the time into San Francisco. At 30 minutes, it used to be difficult for me to rely on it, given that I wasn't quite sure if I could make my San Francisco meeting on time. But with NextBus, I can look at it and I can say, I know when that bus is going to be there. And that makes a difference. That enables 30-minute service to be of use to me, where before it really wasn't. And that's something that is system-wide for AC Transit. So I just want to look at that and say, well, what's the effect on that? Because NextBus is here to stay. And real-time arrival information has a big impact, but I've never seen a measurement of it. I've never seen a study done of it, and it would be interesting. On slide 18, I think it's very important to notice what is AC Transit's biggest problem is in slide 18. And that is that the speed actually is reduced from our local service when we get onto a trunk line by over a mile an hour. And that's because our trunk lines are going down major arterials and they're full of cars. And it's really important that we try to figure out, like, the bus bulbs and things, because that makes a tremendous difference. And little things that are not terribly expensive, when put into those major arteries, can have a small impact on the automobile throughput and a large impact on the total passengers throughput. And I'm hoping that we can really look at those things very seriously. It's an easy thing because they're kind of small. They're not sexy, but they can make a lot of difference. The other thing, like on slide 23, what is a couple of things there is interesting to me. And one is this: these pilot projects of 100, getting 100. I don't know if that would make a good. I don't want to see the project happen and then be criticized because it's not big enough. I mean, it needs to be at least meet at least a good number of people's test of. That's the, somewhere close to significant when you've got that much thing. And I don't know whether we'll be comparing them against their former usage or whatever. But it's important to, if you're going to do that pilot, to not have it just be tossed off because it by someone who just says, what do you know anymore? And I don't know. I mean, that's for somebody to look at. The other thing is this last line on that slide. Participants will use Clipper, but pilot programs will not require hardware-software changes. In my opinion, the thing that really makes sense here, what really makes this happen, is the Clipper card. That's what really makes all of this thinking possible. And in my experience, you know, so far, and this indicates to it, there seems to be a great resistance or difficulty in enhancing Clipper and the back office software to enable us to do things like this. And I think it would really benefit MTC and all the transit providers, if you could look at that and say, well, what is the problem? Why is it that there's a problem to reprogramming Clipper that we can't just deal with and just say, maybe let's, can we do it with 500? Can we, and that sort of thing. And this is comes up over and over at AC Transit as well.
Thank you very much. Okay, Kenneth.
Thanks.
Well, excuse me, Commissioner Bates, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I don't look down by right.
This may be a terribly oversimplification, but is the strategy to try to have AC Transit provide better service during the peak for people going for distance travelers, and then on the off-peak to try to connect up more readily with BART? Is that the strategy?
That's one of the strategies. I think there's a whole slew of strategies that we're looking at for Transway that we'll try and test out as pilots, but that could be one, is that
So what peaks, are the other ones? What are the other ones?
I think it's what I mentioned about Fruitvale. So park and rides, short corridors where we have lots of density, and then getting to a BART station, see if we can pick up some duplicate riders there.
That's in line with trying to move during the peak, right? I mean, that's when the peak.
Sure, but we're trying to keep those lines shorter.
Okay.
Mr. Dodd. We have from BART, Bob Mitroff from BART staff will give a quick presentation, and then maybe you can do the same with the BART.
Very good.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners and directors. I'm Bob Mitroff from BART's Operations Planning Department. I am here today to describe the steps that we are taking to implement the TSP recommendations for our service, those being the following three interrelated concepts: capacity, BART Metro service changes, as well as utilization. First of all, I'd like to address the recommendations on capacity, both on our trains and in our stations. Capacity is a major concern for BART right now. Our ridership has increased by an average of 3% a year since we opened the San Francisco Airport Extension in 2003. When you compound all that ridership growth, we're at 400,000 now. That's 100,000 more trips per day than we were 10 years ago. Now, as this slide shows, if the 3% growth continues into the future and we bring online our extensions to the Oakland Airport, Eastern Contra Costa, and San Jose, we'll be carrying 500,000 passenger trips by 2018 and 750,000 by 2030. This is a capacity concern because right now we're carrying crowding levels frequently which exceed our peak hour standard of 107 passengers per car. And we also see passengers having to stand every morning from as far as the West Dublin Pleasanton Station, which is a 43-minute ride. Now, we want to stay ahead of this onboard crowding situation. And to do that, what we need are more cars so we could run more trains and longer trains. We have a plan right now to replace our existing fleet of 669 cars and add to that 106 additional cars to service our new extensions. These 775 cars will unfortunately not be enough. If we do not increase our fleet size beyond 775 cars, we will be averaging 130 passengers per car in the year 2020. Now, that represents 60 seated passengers and 70 standees. That's just too many. To keep our vehicle loads at today's crowded but relatively tolerable levels, we will need to expand our fleet to 1,000 cars. And to put all of those vehicles into service during the peak hour, we'll need to replace our existing legacy train control system with a modern system. This modern system would allow us to increase our peak hour, peak direction trains from 23 per hour to 30. And then the last part of that is to maintain these additional cars at our expanded Hayward Maintenance Complex. These are the three big projects for near-term funding as approved by our Board of Directors. However, this is not the limit to our capacity needs. Our stations are getting crowded as well, especially Embarcadero and Montgomery. These two stations see 80,000 entries and exits each day, each. That means 40% of all BART trips are either going to begin or end at Embarcadero or Montgomery. During the peak hour, you could see in this table that it's even more. 50% of all peak hour trips either begin or end at Embarcadero or Montgomery Station. Now, the crowding at these stations manifests itself in two ways. Escalator queues are growing longer and longer every morning, and the waiting area is growing more and more crowded in the afternoon. Now, we cannot simply add new stairs and escalators to deal with the problem that we have in the morning, because those landings would take up precious real estate on the platform that we need in the afternoon. So we are in a bit of a box, and we need to break out of that box, literally, which is the next slide. You might have seen these in the Chronicle a few weeks ago. The ultimate solution to our station capacity problems at those two stations are new side platforms. We conducted a study with VTA in 2010 about what will happen to our stations, especially these two stations, when our system is extended to Silicon Valley. The study determined that we could manage our station capacity at an average weekday ridership level of 750,000 passengers if we add two new platforms at Embarcadero Station on either side of the existing subway box, lower level, and one new platform on the south side of the subway box at Montgomery Station. In addition to doing this capacity work, we also did a constructability study to determine if these new side platforms could be built without significantly impacting our peak period service. This constructability analysis gave the green light to the side platform concept. Right now, we're trying to move ahead with a multitude of San Francisco agencies which share jurisdiction over these stations to develop a consensus on these future plans as well as a construction implementation strategy. So that's our capacity work that we've done following up on the recommendations that were made during the sustainability program. This next slide appears, and I just wanted to state now that Commissioner Haggerty is back in the room, that we have no plans to reduce off-peak service levels to the Tri-Valley. In fact, we are going to be increasing our peak period train frequencies and train lengths from the Dublin Pleasanton station into downtown San Francisco. These are, in fact, some of the most crowded trains that we have on our system. If you've been around, and I've been around for 25 years, in fact, this, I think, is 25 years since I was hired by MTC, people thought that this line was going to bring about a deterioration in BART's financial performance. In fact, like I said earlier, these are some of our most productive runs during the peak period.
Just think what will happen when you get to Livermore.
You're going
to explode.
What one aspect of the BART Metro study has focused on is increasing our off-peak service levels to show and go on the busiest parts of our system. As Russ described earlier, those are the Transbay Corridor, the Richmond to Oakland, and the San Leandro to Oakland Corridor. We would like to have, as Director Worth suggested more frequent service in the Transbay corridor, especially in the evenings. And what we've done is we've extended service on our red line, which used to shut down at 7 o'clock, to 8 o'clock. And we'd like to make that 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11, 12, because of this issue that you've noticed. When we had shut down service on the red line and forced everybody who wants to go to Berkeley or Richmond to take the yellow line and transfer at MacArthur to the orange line, those yellow line trains became extremely crowded. So we've already implemented the first step in this off-peak show-and-go service between downtown San Francisco and the Oakland-Berkeley-Richmond corridor.
You done? I'm sorry. What have you done?
We've extended the hours of our red line, which used to shut down at 7 o'clock every evening, to shut down at 8 o'clock every evening. And once we get through the seismic work that we're doing on the Transbay Tube, we would like to run that service on the red line even later into the evening.
So the red line is the Richmond line?
Sorry. Yeah, the red line, Richmond-Millbrae. Okay, this last slide puts it all together and shows all of the projects that we've been talking about, and also shows a number of additional projects, the turnbacks and crossovers that we need to accomplish on the last TSP service objective for BART, which is utilization. As Russ mentioned earlier, many BART routes have relatively low utilization levels once their main drop-offs have been made in downtown San Francisco. Currently, we address this by turning 4 westbound trains during the morning peak period around at Montgomery Station and have them loop back to the East Bay for another inbound return trip. Now, we need to do more of this, but we can't do it at Montgomery. It's very difficult to turn a train around in front of oncoming traffic at one of your busiest stations on your system. So what we have gotten funding for from the TSP's Transit Performance Incentive Program is a turnaround at 24th and Mission Station. Once that's implemented, we will be doing more turnarounds, improving our utilization levels system-wide. We also would like to run our green line service the way we run our yellow line service right now during the peak period. In addition to the 4 base peak period trains that we have on the yellow line, we run about 6 what we call rush trains to deal with all of the traffic. I'm sorry, the yellow line would be the Pittsburgh Bay Point to SFO. The red line would be the Richmond to Millbrae. The blue line would be Dublin Pleasanton to Daly City, and the green line would be Fremont to Daly City. We've got, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of demand during the peak period on the interior portion of those 2 southern Alameda County lines. So we need to start preparing to offer more what we call rush trains, maybe from South Hayward to Daly City, South Hayward to 24th Street, to deal with all that passenger demand. And that's basically the BART Metro story in a very abbreviated form. We got a grant from Caltrans to do what we're calling a sustainable community operations analysis of bringing the off-peak service that we talked about here as well as the peak service together in a comprehensive plan as well as a comprehensive list of capital improvement projects needed to implement it. And what you're seeing here is a list of all the phase 1 near-term capital projects we need to address 2 things: the capacity constraints that we're facing during the peak period and the development of show-and-go service during the off-peak period. Any questions on that?
Just an observation. For the first time all the years I've been going into San Francisco, last week was the first time I had to stand the whole way from Del Norte. And, to take that train in, you see the same people having to stand all the time.
Right.
And they're not happy. I mean,
some right.
are not happy. And at some point, this capacity issue, there has to be a discussion about, do we keep feeding into the BART system, as you reach this capacity? Does AC Transit start providing service that bypasses BART? And I'll tell you, if I had to stand again, I'm going to get off the next stop and throw myself in front of the train. I mean, it was such a miserable... What?
That's drastic.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just saying, it really wasn't a very pleasant...
Right, and this led to our big three projects. It's all about reducing the standee area, reducing the crowding on board of the vehicles. We need more cars. We need a train control system. We could run more frequent service during that period.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, you know, I really appreciate this whole study. And
you know, I think we're starting to
See, you know, what some of the deficiencies are, and I think that we need to start looking further out.
Right.
And, you know, Greg, I really appreciate your comments about the Clipper card. I mean, you know, if you were in this room years ago as we were talking about this, that was a very difficult thing to bring forth, and the vision that our staff had and what we thought it could do and the changes that we thought it would force on the operators, I think are all coming to fruition. And I just applaud our staff for staying the course. It was painful, expensive, but I think in the long run, it's got to be one of the best things that we've done to make this a seamless system throughout the region because of all these different boards and different operations. Clipper is the one thing, that's the glue that brings us all together. And I appreciate your comments. But I do hope we're looking further out as Bart reaches this capacity issue. You know, how do we divert some of that and make other transit operations successful? And I'm sure, Steve, maybe you can comment a little
bit. Well, I do want to tie this back, if I could, even though it's a little unpleasant now, to Plan Bay Area, because if you look at where we want to grow the region in terms of new housing capacity, it is largely centered around the core of the region and in the East Bay, in the Inner East Bay. And that is going to make these capacity issues on BART worse. So if we want to have a land use strategy that's ultimately successful in encouraging people and incentivizing people to get onto transit, we've got to have the transit there to match that demand. And right now on BART we're falling behind, on AC, on Muni. I mean, in the core of the region, all of these operators are facing capacity constraints. And I do encourage you, Commissioner, to stay on the train. Because I would have been dead a long time ago on Muni if I had to get off every bus that I've had to stand on. That's not the standard we want around the region. We want transit to be an attractive alternative that people want to take. And so we have been, Bob mentioned the three projects in particular that would significantly expand BART's capacity. And we're talking with my counterpart, Grace Cronican, quite seriously about how we stage those and how we pay for them because we don't have any of that money yet. But we're going to need to make those investments in BART, in AC, in Muni in particular, to deliver that land use strategy.
Just a quick question, you know, because I can't help but notice that you're talking about increased vehicle storage. And by the way, you're becoming my most favorite person in the room. So, does that mean that you're going to have to build a larger tail track than what you already have out there?
Yeah, that's one of the projects, the Dublin Pleasanton tail track right there. We'd like to run 10 car trains. We'd like to run on that line. We'd like to run 5 an hour in the peak instead of 4. So that's what we need to bring that.
So, but there is a tail track there that extends.
Not far enough.
Okay, so you do. Well, I vote for that.
No. Okay. It's not going all the way to Livermore, though, Commissioner.
Well, that's
I knew where you were headed.
I'll
there.
Do it mile by mile if I have to.
All right. Did you want to cover that last slide, or are we pretty much done with that?
I think we're pretty much done, so if you wanted to...
Yeah, I wanted to ask Robert Rayburn or Rebecca Saltzman if you'd like to say a few words or questions or comments.
Thank you, Chair Dodd. It's a pleasure to be here. It really is a pleasure to hear that we are addressing integrating our transit services in the East Bay, and I believe that the end result will be an improvement for the passenger. Your comments about the Clipper card, that is the mechanism for the fare integration. I think everybody will agree that a 25% discount for a transfer is woefully inadequate. It harkens back from a much earlier era. The real dilemma that we face is the capacity. And when we look at that slide on rethinking Transbay bus service, I think it's slide 19. One area that concerns me is when I see that the third from the bottom bullet point, that can Transbay service be reconfigured into higher frequency shuttles to BART? Well, that seems like it would shift then what Transbay service is currently being carried by AC Transit onto our back. And you saw from an earlier slide that until we get those additional cars in a transit control system, we don't have any more capacity through that pinch point. The other point that I want to emphasize is with regard to shuttles. And there's a slide number 16 that calls for augmenting or for fast frequent shuttles to the BART stations. I want to share, and Amy Worth mentioned that you have a shuttle serving St. Mary's. I wonder if that shuttle shows up in the MTC's 511. We have a number of shuttles that serve BART stations today. I believe as of last year, we were at 67 different shuttles. They run the gamut from entirely private, like Kaiser, to public, like the Emory Go-Round. We need to make a commitment to the passengers when we provide a shuttle so that we're not pulling the rug out from under them. And I believe that the word pilot should be stricken in this document when we refer to shuttles. That if we're going to fund a shuttle, let's get in the water fully and make sure that that system's sustained. The BART board recently approved a fare and a parking fee increase. We intend to take those parking monies to improve the connectivity to the stations. And so we're not going to be able to fully fund shuttles, but we can become partners in delivering this service. And I would like to ask that the MTC partner with us in helping to better define what a shuttle is and create opportunities where we provide four-tired rubber service right now for all of the passengers.
Thank you, Robert. Rebecca?
Thank you. I'm really pleased that BART and AC Transit and MTC are coming together on this. I think it's very productive, and ultimately we need to think about serving the rider, and often the riders are taking multiple services. They're not siloed just into one type of service. I'm really looking forward to testing out the combined fare and having some more reduction in a fare. I know when I used to have a 31-day AC Transit pass that I think at that time was $70 a month, it was kind of a disincentive to ride BART because it seemed like no discount at all. So I think that could greatly increase, especially if it's marketed the right way, the amount of people that are taking AC Transit to BART. And the other thing that's at capacity right now are our parking lots, so we need to figure out other ways to get people to the stations. Since it was brought up about this land use issue and BART being at capacity or nearing capacity in the Transbay tube, something that BART discussed a little bit at our retreat in January was the fact that we have excess capacity in certain directions. And so in looking at land use patterns and in planning for the Bay Area, if more jobs were to be located, for example, in the East Bay and Oakland and Berkeley and San Leandro throughout the East Bay, we can deliver passengers there. We have plenty of capacity to deliver passengers there. So I think that's something that the region is going to have to start seriously considering. Thank you.
Yeah. Commissioner Dodd, this is a action item. I don't know if you wanted to check for public comment now before.
I'll do it. I don't have any speaker cards. Tom, excuse me. Commissioner Asombrato, I apologize.
Has BART considered pricing differences between peak and non-peak, and if you could change commuting patterns? And then As we get more elderly, going from 12% to 22%, what percentage of elderly do we think will regularly use BART? Because, you know, as Jim was mentioning, they're standing, and when I'm on BART, I notice a lot of people over 65 standing at times, and it's going to be more, and I wasn't picking on your age, but are we going to actually discourage elderly from using BART and using buses, or as we're eliminating more seats, it's getting to be less comfortable for elderly? And then do we just, when we have discounts for elderly, could the discounts be for non-peak hours as a way to encourage other things if they're outside the workforce?
We are looking at a, it has been proposed for staff to do a study of either peak period pricing or surcharges at our busiest stations to spread the demand out and to fund the improvements that we need. There are, and as far as your issues with elderly passengers, those are all really good ideas.
One thing to add to that, that BART is doing to address the problem of people not giving up their seats. Right now, the placards suggesting that you give up your seat, they're often behind the person who's already sitting down and not at eye level sight. So in upgrading the trains, we are looking at making those more prominent. That might not force somebody to do it, but we're trying to figure out some creative ways to address that issue.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Chair, and maybe this question is more to Steve. I think the report's good, and I've heard answers to questions today that certainly are making me feel a little bit better about us as we move forward. But I just can't help but feel, and I understand the title of the, you know, the Inner East Bay, I get all that, but I just can't get past the fact that there's this, you know, 300-pound elephant down the road a little bit called San Jose that's starting to tie into the BART system and what kind of effect they're going to have on us moving forward into the future. And I don't think the only place I'm not comfortable right now is how that all fits into this Inner East Bay study. And it's almost, I don't want to say we're ignoring it, but maybe we just haven't thought about it. But I think as we move forward with this, I'd like to see some more, well, today's an action item, but I would like to get some sort of assurance that we're going to continue to study the effects on the Inner East Bay.
Commissioner, I can certainly give you that assurance, and I think Bob might have mentioned that part of the work that BART is doing is occasioned by the fact that they're going to be opening that extension, and that extension is going to matter a lot, and to both agencies, going in both directions.
Yeah. And I appreciate that answer. If he did say that, as you know, I was out of the room for a few minutes, and I might have missed that, but I do hope, and I do believe that San Jose is going to have a huge impact on our systems up here in the Inner East Bay.
Commissioner Bates.
Thank you. I was wondering, a comment got made, and I'm concerned about the One Bay Area strategy and our ability to have transit, effective transit service to provide, you know, the wherewithal for people to get around. So I was wondering, where the AC Transit, is AC Transit at the maximum? Are they at the peak periods? Are they experiencing...
Certain trips, yes, but not overall in the system. I think we have some room for more capacity in the
period. You have more capacity?
Yes.
Okay, you know, because it seems to me that BART is just completely jammed, at least on the red line.
On the red line, the one we take.
So I think the strategies have got to be try to figure out, as I indicated earlier, we've got to get more people on the buses during that time. And we also, during the off-peak times, I think we need to make sure we get AC and the shuttle services really feeding BART so that BART can provide that service. And then I would suggest that maybe there's some off-peak break in terms of time, of cost, too. I do support the project of having the dollar off, but maybe during the times of off-peak, we incentivize people to use the service during off-peak.
Okay. Public comment, Jane Kramer.
Okay, my comments are kind of in response to brainstorming ideas that are going around. I recognize that nothing is at this point in any way settled. So I guess I've got, I don't know if they're concerns, but just some thoughts. I know as a writer on public transportation, it's not so much speed all the time. It's the predictability. Am I going to go? Be able to go if I have to transfer from one mode of transportation or one bus to another and be able to do it quickly? And I don't necessarily care whether I get from original point A to destination point X, Y, and Z in 20 minutes or 25 minutes. Doesn't matter. So speed is not always my criterion. It's got to be convenience and it's got to be predictability. The other thought I have is whether it's BART or AC Transit or whomever, being able to deliver people to this destination point because that's where they work. And I'm wondering, as you're planning population movement and concentration, if you gave some thought to aligning local economies with transportation services so you don't have to worry so much about transporting people long distances and you can concentrate on putting your resources into getting people to where they need to be over short distances well. So what I'm saying is build local economies. It's a thought.
Okay, there's an action item here to refer this to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the staff recommendation referring to comprehensive operational analysis recommendations to the commission for approval.
And I'll second.
Spearing, who is a second?
Mr. Chairman, can I just...
Mr. Bates. Yeah. Commissioner Bates, any discussion, any dissent?
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, please don't be sorry. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you. I'm really just so as this moves forward and it goes to the full commission, how active will this committee be in the future? Why? I just need to understand if we're wiping our hands or if we're still involved.
No, I don't think we want to disband you, but I think a lot of the work does now transition to the BART and the AC Transit boards, and I think that's been one of the most important developments in this work is that we've had such good cooperation from both.
Yes, that's true.
More importantly, they need to cooperate with each other in carrying out a lot of these recommendations.
Okay. All right. I understand. Thank you.
A subtle reminder there. Anybody else? So all in favor, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion carries. That concludes the business before this board, and we will meet at another time that is not disclosed at this time. We'll adjourn the meeting.